It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Welcome to another Wednesday evening, everybody. This is the Voice of Indie podcast. I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and this is show number 116. And with me is Mr. Stephen Gies. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing great. It's been a beautiful day out there, I think. Since this is a pre-recorded show, I'm not sure what day it is, but looking forward to our guest this week and having a great show.
Yeah, since this is a pre-recorded show, listeners, no calls, no tweets, although we will monitor Twitter, so you can do your tweets if you want, and we may answer back. We just won't answer them on the air because this is pre-recorded. We're not going to run
you're not going to run the roll-in.
We're
going to talk about audiobooks. We got a bunch of audiobooks in play. Beam's been working on editing these. You got one that's being narrated by Vivian Ahn. What is that one, Beam?
That is Jenny Wong's Girl Wears Those Shoes. And that one is just about done. She's finishing up the final chapter. And once that's here, I do my magic to it. And it's good to go to Amazon and all the outlets, and keep an ear out for that. Get the newsletter. You'll find out when it's going to be available. And the other one is Ellie Collins' Mad Max and Sweet Sarah, and that one that's done. We're just waiting for some rereads on a few lines, and when those are done, I inject those into it, and that's good to go. So again, keep an eye out for the newsletter.
We also have another one in play. We've got a new Mac McDowell Mission book by Robert G. Williscroft coming out in a couple of months, and the audiobook for that is in production now. Narrator Trenton Bennett, a popular, well-known narrator. We've had him as a guest on the show. And it's an excellent episode, by the way, where he talks about how to produce audiobooks, how to work with the talent, how to get out there and market them and all that kind of stuff. So that's Trenton Bennett's working on the new Operation Whiteout, a Mac McDowell Mission by Robert G. Williscroft audiobook in production from Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah. And as I've mentioned, keep an eye on the newsletter. Here's how you can sign up and subscribe to our newsletter.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter. New releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
All right.
Great. Now, we've got a short story contest going, everybody. We've been talking about this for months now, but the stories are a little bit short, a little bit slow coming in. We're collecting two kinds of stories to put out in anthologies. One is short fiction and one is short essays, or what we like to call personal experience essays. These are when you tell an anecdote, an experience you had, or something that was related to you, and then try to give it some context, bigger picture, and then give it some meaning, the lesson that we learned from it, or what we can all see about ourselves in this kind of stuff. Those kinds of essays, they're based on true incidents, so they're not fiction, but they're philosophical in nature and very popular. In fact, if you're trying to break in, that's one of the easiest things to sell to magazines and various periodicals and websites and such, as personal experience essays. So we're looking for those, and we're also looking for fiction. What is fiction, Beam?
The short fiction, these are your stories. Short stories, they're not a full-length novel. They're not a novella. They're just, you know, it could be, what, about 3,000 words, 4,000 words, somewhere in there, even less than that. I've written some that I think my shortest one is 600 words. These are just great short stories that any genre that you're looking for. I write a lot in historical fiction, but I also write slice of life. Just stories of people trying to live their lives, and something happens, and they've got to overcome that. And these go into the Fresh Ink Group Short Story Showcase number one. If you've got a copy of that, there's some great examples of short stories in there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Number two and number three is what we're working on right now. Lauren, she's going to be editing the stories next. And she has some fiction, but very little essay. So come on, people, let's get these things sent in. If you go to freshinkgroup.com, there's a contest tab right there with a form you can fill out and upload your stories, or you can just send them to contest@freshinkgroup.com.
Yeah. And if you miss any of these episodes, or you are new to the show and you want to check out what we've done in the past, or if there's just an episode that's your favorite and you want to listen to it over and over again, guess what? We've got archives. And this is where you can find all of our episodes in the archives.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
So let's welcome today's guest. Harmony Kent is an award-winning multi-genre author. She writes fantasy, thriller, erotica, writing and editing tips, women's fiction, contemporary poetry, short stories. Hold on while I turn this paper over and keep reading this list, and Zen musings. As well as being an avid reader and writer, Harmony also offers reviews, and she supports her fellow authors. And Beam and I can both attest to that. Harmony works hard to promote and protect high standards within the publishing arena. She is always on the lookout for talent and excellence and will freely promote any authors or books who she feels have these attributes. Harmony lives in Cornwall, England. Welcome to the show, Harmony.
Welcome, Harmony.
Thank you, Beam and Stephen. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, and it was, you know, kind of a long journey getting you here because the usual route didn't work for Blog Talk Radio. But as we're recording this, we're actually recording it on Zoom, but you're getting the audio. So a little behind the scenes stuff there.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey for sure. And my first go at Zoom ever. So there's another first for me.
And it worked.
Great. Yeah.
It worked.
So what's it like where you live in Cornwall? I mean, is it kind of rural or you live in town? What's going on? And is that the only place area you've ever lived, or have you been around other places?
I kind of snuck across a few borders to get down here. I started off way up in the northwest of the country. And we, as a child, moved around quite a lot and between the northeast and the northwest. And then eventually I found my way down to Cornwall back in 2014. And it's so peaceful here. We live quite rurally, which can get a bit tricky when you need to get to the doctors or the shops and things like that. But I just love the quietness. I'm not really a city girl, never have been.
So let's take a look at your childhood. Were you a reader or a writer, or is this something that you came to later on?
I often joke that I was born holding a crayon. always been a writer, making up stories, and reading as soon as I was old enough to learn. And I kept, you know, the teachers at school would struggle to keep me supplied with books because I just read that quickly and that many. So yeah, always a reader, always a writer.
So you had teachers that encouraged that too and then helped you along with that.
I did, and one, she's the only teacher whose name I can actually remember from school, which says a lot, is Mrs. Rustling, was my high school English teacher, and she snuck me a copy of Stephen King's It, which really got me into the horror kind of genre, and I've never looked back from there. So yeah, she really helped spark my imagination even more.
Yeah, favorite teachers were the ones that really encouraged the reading big time. I can still remember those too. Those are my favorites.
Teachers make such an incredible difference. You know, I think back all the way to my youngest years in school and which teachers encouraged and which teachers discouraged. And it's such a difference. So this interest in reading and writing, did you carry that on into your education? Did you study anything about literature or writing?
Pursued English literature. Unfortunately, it wasn't something that was encouraged at home. And I ended up lacking the confidence. So I kind of put it away until I spent 13 years in a Zen Buddhist monastery. And by the time I came out of that kind of rock grinding machine, I discovered confidence in myself and came out writing.
Wow. Zen Buddhist monastery.
Yeah.
I got to hear what that was like.
What was that like?
It was hard work, but so worth it. We rose every morning at 5 a.m. and we did 2 or 3 hours of meditation and then the morning ceremony. And then we'd finally get into doing some breakfast. And the days were pretty set strict routines, and every aspect of your behavior, any assumptions you might make, were always questioned. And you were forced to really look at yourself. And it's a funny thing, at first, for years, I just thought the world's such a cruel place and it needs to change. And it took me a few years to get the message that actually I needed to change. And a lot of the ways I behaved out of fear and lack of confidence weren't helpful for me or most other people. And once I saw that, things started to become a lot easier. And once I could accept who I was and who I had been, it, you know, really helped me start seeing it, accepting it, and moving on.
Well, that's terrific. What led you there? I mean, how does one wind up in a Buddhist, in a Zen monastery?
It's funny because I was the biggest atheist on the planet at the time. And they often say that that's when you're more likely to get grabbed, because I went in without any preconceptions. And the first time I tried meditation, it just felt like being wrapped in a warm blanket. It was lovely and comforting. And then, of course, the more I meditated and the deeper I went, became very aware of all the loud chatter in my head, a lot of the negative things I would say to myself. And so that then got difficult. But in sticking with that, it ended up becoming so freeing in being able to see it and not be blindly believing it.
Wow. All right. We are on with Harmony Kent. This is a pre-recorded show, so we cannot take phone calls right now, but we are monitoring Twitter, and we're going to roll our first commercial now and be back with Harmony in a minute.
Psychologist Annabelle O'Brien flees from her psychotic ex-husband in New York City, only to find he is stalking her across the country with deadly intentions. She takes a job in the resort town of Lake Nager. When a series of attacks place her in even greater danger, Annabelle turns to hostile burnout of a detective, Mark Driscoll, who is assigned to protect her. Then, two women who resemble her are murdered, and the town is gripped with fear. Mark and Annabelle must work together to catch the killer before he catches them. From the celebrated author of such bestsellers as Legacy of Danger and her collection Eerie Charms of the Short Story, Water Lilies Over My Grave is a novel of psychological suspense about one woman searching for a new life, even as she is threatened by her old one. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Water Lilies Over My Grave is available in all print and digital formats worldwide.
So Harmony, what sort of day job do you have?
These days I edit and proofread. Previously, I worked in nursing and specialised in child psychiatry for a number of years. And then when I left the temple, it got into writing pretty much full time back then. And then over the years of slowly gotten into the editing and proofreading side of things too.
So Harmony, what kind of hobbies and interests do you have outside of writing? Other ways that you spend your time, looking at sunsets, catching critters, whatever.
Throwing rocks through windows.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
I think the obvious one up there has to be reading. I just devour books, and sometimes I can be reading two or three at a time. Other than that, yeah, definitely watching sunsets. Most definitely not sunrise. That's the wrong end of the day for me. serious night owl here.
Yeah, I can identify with that. I've seen many sunrises, but from the other end.
And other than that, I love doing things that are crafty, like making cards, sewing, embroidery, knitting, just generally making things. And I found, since publishing books and making my book covers, I've got a love of and enjoyment of digital design too, which was a surprise for me.
Wow. What have you worked on digitally?
Made lots of book covers. I've made book movie trailers, as well as teaser, banners, promotional things, all that kind of gamut on the digital design. And yeah, it was a big learning curve for me because I'd never done anything like that before. And when I went into the temple, the technology just wasn't there. We barely had an internet and there was no Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. So when I came out 13 years later, that was a bit of a culture shock. And I had to learn. Yeah, I had to learn it all from start.
Yeah, but, the technology is just amazing what you can do nowadays. Just get on your computer and I mean, wow.
Yeah, and like sitting and having this chat from, you know, across the Atlantic is just fantastic.
Yeah.
So are you a Canva or a Photoshopper or what do you use?
I started off with Photoshop, but after my last computer update, they would have made me go to subscription service, and I just don't like that. I like to purchase a program outright. And so I've gone to Affinity, but I'm having to learn that. So I'm a little bit slower than I was.
Great. It's a good time to roll another commercial. We're talking to Harmony Kent. It's a pre-recorded show, so you can't call in. But if you want to tweet with hashtag Fresh Ink Group, we are monitoring Twitter. And we'll be back with Harmony in a minute.
Discover Practical Problems, 10 Stories for the Stage by Jay Ejluni. In Goin' Legit, mobsters seek a conventional bank loan with hilarious results. In The Angry Ashtray, an inanimate object comes to life and has a surprising view about familiarity. In Blues Man Brando, actor Marlon Brando pays a surprising and surreal visit to a suburban family. In Up From the Ashes, a local historical society decides to turn back the clock, way back. In A Hard Way's Night, an aging rock band regroups to bid goodbye to the grungy ballroom where they got their start. And in The Three Christs of Ypsilanti, based entirely upon a true story, three psychotics attempt to convince a psychologist they are each the son of God. There are four more stories too delicious to summarize by Jay Ejluni and published proudly by Fresh Ink Group in soft, hard, and all digital formats. Practical Problems delivers what it promises.
So Harmony, your writing process, we know you're a reader. What's your writing process like? When do you read? When do you write? Do you have any goals that you set for yourself during the day? You know, word counts. Do you have to have complete quiet, or do you go in the back room and crank up music?
Outliner, pantser.
Are you an outliner? Yeah, pantser.
A very big pantser. I have tried outlines. I've outlined a trilogy, and I get so far through and end up having to completely rewrite where I've gone. So I'm better off just pantsing. Music. I love to play like soundtracks. I think I wrote The Glade. The whole of The Glade was to the Twilight soundtracks that are kind of more instrumental and very dramatic. I don't do so well with lyrics when I'm writing, and especially not for editing, but I also don't like it too quiet. I think because all the years I associate silence with meditation, so it helps to have something instrumental in the background to get my brain in the right place.
I remember reading in Stephen King's On Writing, he talked about his writing process, and it was, he would lock himself in his office and he would turn up either AC/DC or Metallica, crank it up as, you know, really loud, because that blocked the outside noise.
Yeah.
And then he'd have a pile of cocaine on one side of his computer or his typewriter and beer, the big tall boys of beer on the other side. He doesn't do that anymore, but
or doesn't admit it anymore.
Well, he said he was dumping the beer cans out one day, and the trash was overflowing with them, and he realized he might have a problem, so he quit that. But I would hope he's not doing the cocaine anymore at his age. You know, that's just interesting, that kind of a writing process. I love Metallica. I love AC/DC, two of my all-time favorite bands, but I can't listen to them. As you pointed out with the lyrics, especially, I'll be singing along. But even instrumental, I just can't. Although I can't. I did listen to a little bit of swing jazz from the 30s while writing a couple of scenes in Jazz Baby because it put me in that mood. So
yeah, and I can't listen to music at all because as a musician, I'm listening to, you know, the changes and the structures and the pentatonics and all that kind of stuff. And I find myself, I stop writing and listen to the music, or vice versa. I, you know, don't even notice that the music quit a half hour ago. So I've always been envious of people who could do that. Like, you're going to write the big fight scene, so you put on some heavy metal, you know, and then you got the
theme from Rocky.
Yeah, and then you got the love scene coming up, so you put on some romantic music, some Mozart or something. But so Harmony, where do you get your ideas from? You know, you've written a couple of things, at least from what we can see here.
Yeah, that was quite a long list at the beginning there. The ideas seem to find me. I know the first two books, The Battle for Brisingamen and The Glade, they were just there ready to spill out, as though they'd been like building up behind this dam all those years. And then suddenly it's like, hey, we're free. And then after that, some of them I've had to think about a little bit. The interesting one was Finding Katie, a very character-driven book, very much more so than other books that I've written. And that character just would not let me go till her story was found. She would drag me out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd have to get up and start banging away at the keyboard, and then crawl back to bed probably 2 or 3 hours later. So she was an interesting one.
Well, say the name of that one again.
Finding Katie.
Katie. I have that on my...
I have it too.
On my Kindle, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you.
I'll have to bump that up.
So once you get an idea, obviously you jump right into it and start pantsing, but do you work with others at all? Do you use beta readers? Do you send your stuff to editors? Or is this just a solo effort?
I used editors in the past, but to be honest, I've had some really bad experiences. So I rely on beta readers and critique partners, and then just general readers that aren't in the industry to get their take, which I find is an incredibly useful aspect to, you know, and feedback to get, that people that aren't writers themselves, that are just readers, and see what they think and how it feels to them and comes across.
How do you publish? Do you self-publish? Do you work with a publisher?
I self-publish right from the beginning, having looked into the two options. I didn't like how, whether it's a small press or a bigger press, they seem to just take control of your book, such as pricing, title, cover, timing of releases, promotions, all of that. And I thought, after putting in all that work, I just thought I wanted to keep that control. Yeah. So I went indie all the way for me.
And you've definitely been supportive of other indie authors, which we all out here appreciate very much.
Thank you.
Now, Harmony, I'm sitting here looking at 40 book covers that have your name on them. And I've probably missed some in the process. Wow. Too. And some of these I've read over the years, and many of them, you know, unfortunately I have not. I wish I could read everything that I always want to read. Are there any particular ones that stand out to you as your favorites or the most popular or whatever that we could talk about in a little more detail now?
I loved the one for The Glade. It was only the second one I'd ever done. And the original cover on Brisingamen was terrible, to put it bluntly, and I had a steep learning curve between the two. And the cover on The Glade started winning some indie awards, so that I think will always be my favourite. And then the most recent book is a book of poetry with an abstract cover on Life and Soul, and I just love the way that came together. So
which
I think those,
which I read, and I can tell you, even if you're not a poetry fan, grab a copy. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. And I like that cover too. Very cool.
Oh, thank you.
So now, what is Slices of Soul?
Slices of Soul, I wrote a lot of the poems in the beginning I wrote when I was still in the temple. And so they have a very much a Zen feel to them. And then when I left the temple, I kind of chronicled a lot of that journey from coming out with a shaved head and my hair getting a little bit longer and then longer again until I had the long hair and was as normal as I can be member of society. And so it was really a chronicle of that journey from monk back to lay person and learning to live a life with disability. And Life and Soul just builds upon that journey and a lot of the trials and tribulations.
Now, I just picked up on something you said. You shaved your head when you went into the monastery?
Oh, yeah. Straight down to the wood. Yeah.
Wow. Down to the wood. But are there photos? That's the big question. Are there photos?
Yeah, there are. I think I have 2 photos from that time. So I could email them across if you wanted to.
Oh, definitely. We want to see those.
Now, yeah. Another thing I noticed here in a couple of your books, which I knew this, but Concordant Vibrancy. You and I were both parts of those projects.
Yeah.
Fun projects. Excellent stories.
Yeah, that was great to take part in. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think I did the last 4. I didn't do the first one, but I did 2, 3, 4, and 5.
I think I added 1 to 3 or 1 to 4. I can't remember now. I didn't do the last one. Again, mostly due to health issues that I just felt I didn't want to commit and then let people down.
Yeah.
Are these all for sale? These are all still for sale?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe they're still up. Yeah. Cause they still show up on my author page. This is with Yasmin Correa and Monica Brown.
Yeah.
They put that together and great little, like, they'll give you a theme and you write something according to that. And it all ties in together. All these try to make these stories tie in together, but it's, you know, you're just going off of the theme and a lot of fun.
Now, Harmony, you just mentioned health issues. You know, we haven't talked about that before. We know you've been facing some issues lately. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? How you're doing?
Yeah. When I left the temple, I was disabled after a surgical error and lost my leg. And that had a big effect on my immune system and my mobility. And as the time went on, I adapted, got used to it, made allowances, found ways of living and working with that. And then last year, about 7 days after my second AstraZeneca COVID vaccination, I ended up at an emergency walk-in on the Saturday, thinking I might have had a stroke. And all this time later, we're still trying to get to the bottom of it. And there's a lot of trial and error and testing this drug, that drug, and successes and failures. We're thinking at the moment it's probably a vaccine injury, which leaves me in a quandary now is, do I have like the flu jabs are pushing? And I'm pretty certain I'm not going to go for another COVID vaccination. I just don't want to take that risk. But it's left me quite debilitated, even much more so than the original leg injury ever did. A lot of pain, nerve pain, muscle spasms are the worst, which really limits what I can do. Even sitting at the computer is incredibly taxing. And obviously, I'm stubborn, which helps. So yeah. I'm just trying to claw my way back from that and just do as much as I can when I can, but also learn to be sensible and really not overdo it at the same time.
So it's know your limits.
Balance. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Does it interfere with your sleeping as well?
It does, yes. Yep.
Yeah, I have peripheral neuropathy in my lower extremities, and sometimes it's bad, so bad I never sleep. I'm awake all night long, and I know what a struggle that can be.
Yeah, it totally changes your functioning for the whole next day.
Yeah. Okay, we have Harmony Kent on. This is a pre-recorded show, so you can't call in, but we are monitoring Twitter if you want to hashtag Fresh Ink Group in your tweet. And we're going to go to a commercial now, and when we come back, we'll talk with Harmony Kent about some more of her books.
Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. Jerry Pate's semi-autobiographical collection of 60 stories recounts his 30 years in and around the U.S. Navy submarine fleet, ranging from lighthearted to wrenching. All are poignant inside looks at naval operations rarely seen by outsiders. Topics include the real story behind the Shuttle Challenger tragedy, risking his own life underwater, discovering a Soviet spy living across the street, surviving when an engine ignites, critical missions, and the everyday lives of men and women of the fleet. Compiled by author Robert G. Willis-Croft and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Submariner is available worldwide in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Dive into Submariner for hijinks and breathtaking adventure with this poignant memoir by a true American hero.
We are talking to Harmony Kent. It's a pre-recorded show, so please don't call in, but we're monitoring Twitter. If you want to send us a tweet, hashtag Fresh Ink Group. Harmony Kent is one of our favorite indie writers. We've known her for many years, and we're looking at 40 book covers here, and some of these I've read, some of these Beam has read, and many of them we're still looking forward to reading someday. One of my favorites, Harmony, is Elemental Earth. I think that was the first thing I read by you. Tell us a little bit about that. What went into that?
Yeah, that was young adult fantasy fiction. I had a lot of fun with that one. Some of the antics that the teenager got up to, and she got involved with these basic elementals like gnomes and fairies and all sorts of different things. And it was basically the elements like wind, earth, water, fire, air. A lot of fun. Unfortunately, I never did get to finish the trilogy, so I did end up pulling that book at some point because I thought it wasn't fair to readers that until I know I can finish it, it probably wasn't the best thing to keep the first book out there.
Do you think you'll finish it someday?
I may well do it. A lot now depends on how the health goes. But yeah, it's something I do keep looking at and going back to, but it's going to take a lot of effort to, you know, get into the books 2 and 3.
No, I saw it on Amazon. That's how I pasted it into this sheet here that I'm looking at.
Right, because it's not published unless somebody's got a paperback out there.
Yeah, that's what it'll be, is they'll have used copies or something.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, books live forever on Amazon now, long after they're out of print.
Yeah, they do. They do.
So what have you read by Harmony Beam?
Well, I did Slices of Soul as well as Life and Soul. And like I said, I've got Finding Katie, and I believe I have The Vanished Boy on my Kindle as well. But like Stephen says, I mean, you got 50 million books on your Kindle, so you're trying to, I'm going to have to the Finding Katie one, I'm going to bump that to the top of my to be read list. And going back to the Slices of Soul and Life and Soul, I'm just amazed at your ability to write poetry, Harmony. And I'm not a huge poetry fan, but I do like poetry, and I've dabbled in it myself. I'm just not that good at it. But you find some of these, like you yourself, you find someone who knows how to put these words together and just paint these pictures. And some of these are short little poems, but they paint this vivid image, and they're just beautiful. Now, you said you've been writing poetry since you were in the monastery.
Yeah, that's pretty much when I started delving or dabbling in poetry, and it's just grown from there. And now it's becoming fast one of my favorite mediums.
Okay. Yeah. Cause, like I said, I've read a lot of poetry. You do more with a handful of words than some people do with a whole chapter.
Oh, thank you. That's good to know.
Now, one of the covers that really stands out to me that I really like is Backstage. Did you do that cover?
I did. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that one.
Oh,
yeah.
So, well, tell us about the book and then maybe what led you to that cover design.
The book was inspired by my outrage, basically, at what had been happening in the movie industry with the whole Me Too and the sexual assaults, all that nastiness behind the scenes. So that's where the Backstage comes in. It's what goes on backstage. And we had this really nasty guy who abused his power with an up-and-coming actress, and looking at how she got herself out of that situation.
So this is a novel?
It is a novel. It's because it's quite graphic, I'd originally marketed it as erotic fiction, but I think it also has a strong element of a thriller and suspense in there too.
Well, the image I'm looking at is the back view of a woman sitting on something with her legs spread, facing away from us. What triggered your thoughts on that?
This book started in a way that was very unusual for me. It started with a scene, which I ended up writing into the book, where she was on a stage on her own, and the lights were down. And at the time, she didn't know she was being recorded, but it was a very vivid scene. And so for me, that scene came first, and then the cover came, and then the book blurb, and then the story, which isn't the way I usually do it, but it all of that came before the main story, after the initial idea.
Wow. And boy, just the notion of when you get ready to start putting everything together, you already have a blurb. That just thrills me, because that's the part I hate. Sometimes I wait until I'm actually designing the back cover, and it's like, oh, I got to put something on here now.
Yeah. So what's Fallout about?
That's a cool cover too.
Yeah, I love that one. Fallout is set in the future around the year 3040 in settled space. We've got, actually I'm laughing now, because we had a crazy despotic president, and I can kind of think of someone in modern times right now who would fit that bill. And he basically releases a nanovirus on the population, and there's so much scheming and backstabbing and lying and manipulation. It's kind of got everything in it, and it's about two main characters, but one in particular who falls victim right at the beginning and has quite a strong character arc throughout the story, and ends up in a much stronger position than she started out in. But yeah, one of the reviews for that I absolutely loved, that came from Stacey Troilo, saying, "If you like dangerous and a little bit demented, this is a novel for you." That tickled me pink.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so that's Fallout.
All right, we're on with Harmony Kent. We're going to play a commercial now, another Fresh Ink Group indie published book. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Harmony about some of the things she's put out to help other indie writers with their writing.
North Korea will be the biggest challenge to your presidency, warned the outgoing commander-in-chief. But to imprisoned journalist John Jason, surviving each day in the prison camp proves the greatest challenge of his life. Protecting beautiful young prisoner Jisoo has also grown increasingly difficult for this slight man, otherwise powerless, but for his prowess at deceiving their captors. Navy SEAL Andrew Gunner Jackson is tasked by the president himself with gathering intel from the Hermit Kingdom. It's a dangerous gamble, where capture means summary execution, if he's lucky, or death the slow way in a North Korean prison re-education camp. Information is the least of his concerns, though, as the president agrees, he can leverage this mission to satisfy a few goals of his own. How far will each man go to fend off the cruel machinations of a ruthless dictator? And will that be enough for either to survive? Operation Counterpunch is ready to read now. Proudly published in hardcover, paperback, and all ebook formats by Fresh Ink Group. By Mark Marlowe. Operation Counterpunch.
So, Harmony, we see that you have a lot of some books here that are for like polishing your prose. Helping other writers. How did you get involved with this, and what's the feedback been like?
Polish Your Prose was the third book that I published, and because I read so many books that could have been absolute gems if only for that little bit of polishing, and I recognised that so many of us writers struggle to afford the fees for professional editors, proofreaders, and I thought, well, why not put this together in a cheap book that at least gives you some of the basic tips and a little bit of the know-how and definitely what to avoid, just to help, you know, indie writers make the books that much better without having to sell the house, you know, remortgage it and all the rest of it.
Creative solutions for the modern writer.
Yeah, that my kind of to overdrive sometimes. And I remember playing a game of chess, and I suddenly started making a story up out of all the different pieces, like the pawns and the kings and the queens and the knights. And I thought, well, that'd be a really good idea as inspiration and, you know, as a good prompt. And I started coming up with lots of other things, tarot cards, all sorts of different ways that we could spark our imagination, especially when we get bogged down with writer's block and things like that. So that's really where Creative Solutions came from, when people run out of ideas or just need a bit of practice at writing, then without worrying about the editing and without worrying about even publishing it. Sometimes that, what I call relaxed writing, is so important.
Relaxed writing. I like that phrase. Yeah, definitely. So, we're seeing these two. Are there others?
Those are the two at the moment on writing specifically, yeah.
Have you heard from other authors that have benefited from this?
Yeah, I've had so much wonderful feedback, especially from Polish Your Prose. And a lot of people say they like that it's quite chatty, which makes it really easy to read and understand. It's not a dry list and it's not full of jargon. I really worked hard to keep a lot of the editorial jargon out of it. Some of these big words just switch my brain right off. And I thought, if they do it to me, they're going to switch it off for other readers too.
Yeah, I learned long ago that when I'm trying to explain, you know, a syntax or something about English phrasing and whatnot to somebody, it's easiest just to leave all the terms out. You know, just say, recognize this, and that's why you need the comma. But everybody's a little bit different in that regard, and it's great that you have this kind of resource out there for people. We've commented before about how much support you do for indie authors. I mean, what kind of things do you do out there, or do you recommend that other people explore? You know, blog tours, joining groups, putting a flagpole in the front yard, whatever it takes to get attention. What kinds of things are you involved in?
Yeah, lots of reviewing. It's one of the things I got into quite early on, was reviewing for as many people as I could. And at the time, I joined a few review groups. Running the blog, inviting guests onto the blog as often as possible, really just like showcasing people, and visiting blogs as well. You're trying to be as active as I can to support them on their home turf as well.
Yeah, you have some book trailers out there?
Yeah, got some book trailers out there, and I've made trailers for other people as well, which is always fun.
These are on YouTube?
Yeah, they are. I think on there, I haven't used it in a while, but I'm pretty sure there's still a Harmony Kent channel on there.
Yeah, listeners, go over and check out the Harmony Kent channel. Make sure you like and subscribe and share some of those videos with other people. And then, if you have a few minutes left over, there's a Fresh Ink Group channel, too.
Yes, there is. Get over there. Like it. Subscribe.
Get over there. Yeah, we've got about 80-something book trailers on there now for Fresh Ink Group books. We've been prolific. Book trailers are great, and they're fun to make, aren't they, Harmony?
Yes,
they are. Yeah, lots of fun. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to another commercial here, another Fresh Ink Group book, and we'll be back to talk to Harmony Kent.
Four very different people find their very different lives intertwined as they put down roots in the city by the bay. Catherine is the withering transplant who learns to compromise her very soul for a budding career. Amanda reaches for the light with one man, while another shadows her with darkness. Matthew grows the reputation of Immaculate University, but his secrets poison the very well sustaining too many people's words. Brad thrives on success in business and casual sex until love dares try to root in his heart. The vernal promise of springtime blazes in glorious color, even as hope and faith die. In the inevitable autumns, all must strive to survive. Greed, exploitation, hatred, and somehow love shape the everyday, but might possibly in hope somehow endure amid new beginnings. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group worldwide in softcover and all ebook editions, check out The Autumn Tree by Aisha Ehsan.
And we are back with Harmony Kent. This is a pre-recorded show, so we can't take your calls this week. But we still send our best to Dr. Helen out there in the rehab facility, who has to call in order to listen to the show each week.
Yeah.
But we got our guest, Harmony Kent, and we're on here talking about all of these books she's got. She's got some journals and things here too. Journal and notebook, planner. What are these, Harmony?
We've got planners for diarying. We've got little books of birthdays and for special events and events and anniversaries. Just things that I wanted to put together. One for journaling that's just basically blank pages with lots of different covers. I thought it might be nice to just put out there as another non-fiction aspect. And again, helping me fuel that other digital creativity that I discovered.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them here.
Yeah.
And I like the covers, especially with the dolphin jumping out of the water.
Yeah.
I had fun, lots of fun making those. And I thought, for me, I'm old fashioned. I'm very much on the paper side of things. And I thought there's probably a lot of people, especially in my age group or around there, that are the same way. And I thought it's probably a good resource to, you know, just have out there. And it's, apart from the diaries that are dated, it's all, you know, evergreen material. So it can just stay out there.
All right. Now, we both, well, actually all three of us now, are part of the Story Empire. How did you get involved with Story Empire? And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, what the heck is that?
What is Story Empire?
Ooh, Story Empire is this amazing blog that basically is really good resources for writers, from the brand newbies to the experienced. And we try and cover the whole gamut of writing topics. And basically that, again, is all about supporting our fellow writers and authors. And we're a great team. We started off fairly small. I joined in the early days. And it's been so wonderful to see it grow so big. We're up to 11 or so members now at the moment.
Yeah, I've been there for about a year now, or going on a year. And man, it's just been some, there's not just, you know, posting my own posts on there, but reading the posts that you've written, that Jan Sykes has written, that Stacy Troilo and May Claire and Craig Boyack. Just there's, if you're a writer and you still have the capacity to learn, to hone your craft, Story Empire is a great blog to get all kinds of writing tips and hints and just a great tool.
Yeah, and sometimes we just like to have a bit of fun as well on there. So you kind of get best of both worlds.
Yeah. just exchanging ideas alone without it necessarily having a long-term goal to accomplish something. Yeah. That can be terrific too.
Yeah. How did you get involved with Story Empire first? Let's, you know, get to that. You said you've been there. You were one of the early ones. Were you one of the people that put it together, or were you one of the first people invited?
Yeah, I was invited as it was pretty much being put together. It's so long ago now, I struggle to remember that far back and how it all used to be. You kind of get used to how it is now, which is this wonderful thing that's just grown and grown. And I love as well just the camaraderie and group support between all of us contributors too, which I think is something that sadly you don't see everywhere. And I've had run-ins with some book clubs that just haven't, you know, they haven't provided what's written on the tin, as it were.
Yeah, we can tell stories.
Everybody's got their stories.
Oh, yeah.
Let's write a book.
So how do listeners find Story Empire's blog or anything that's available out there, Story Empire?
Yeah, if they type into the search bar, storyempire.com, it will take them up to the URL. And there's a blog there that has like an ongoing blog role. We have an ability to search the archive posts that are always available. So yeah, pretty easy to find. We're also on Twitter as well, at Story Empire. We're around, pretty much everywhere.
Great. We're going to run our last commercial now, and then we're going to come back and finish up with Harmony Kent, one of our favorite guests, live from Cornwall, England, as we record, but pre-recorded as you're listening. So please don't call in right now, but send us a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and we'll respond.
Phil Lippert was thrown into the bowels of the Michigan Department of Corrections as a 17-year-old adolescent. He remained entrenched in a world of malfeasance for the next 40 years. With astonishing honesty, he reveals the raw details of what a life of incarceration looks like from the inside. His observations of human behavior and his stellar ability to tell a story reveal the courage and resilience of a man who has survived horrifying and savage injustice. Sometimes tragic, but often humorous and redemptive, Crimes and the People Who Commit Them offers a poignant collection of stories and miscreants and corrupt institutions, tales of men who have made poor choices and suffered grave consequences. Through it all, Phil Lippert displays a sly sense of humor and the quiet wisdom of a man who is, ultimately, a survivor. Lippert's journey has been one of an unrequited longing for freedom. Crimes and the People Who Commit Them is proudly published in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats, available worldwide.
So, Harmony, what kind of advice do you have for up-and-coming authors and even veteran authors who may still have that capacity to get better?
Don't let anyone tell you you're not good enough. And while it's good to take notice of reviews that are helpful, be careful you don't take all of them to heart, because they're not all constructive.
Wow, that's definitely good advice. We put out a book a couple of weeks ago from a retired naval lieutenant commander. Hit Amazon number one in the bestseller list this week, but he's been racking up 5-star reviews. He got a 4-star review, and he was unhappy about that. we had to talk him down a little bit.
And it's like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, count your blessings. There are a whole lot of people wish they could get all 5s and 1-4.
But
we appreciate that advice, Harmony, because you've been around, you know what's involved, you've seen the best, you've seen the worst, you've worked with some great people, and you've worked with some people who turned out not to be so great. And it's just a big tapestry, a diaspora of everything happening, and navigating your way through the world of indie publishing, indie writing it's difficult, it's challenging, it can be frustrating, but you've always found the route, and you seem to have a Zen approach that we can all admire and appreciate. So how do people find you, Harmony, if someone wants to get a hold of you? Obviously, your books are out there everywhere, but if they want to send you a note or find your blog or your website or things like that, now's the time. Let's hear about them.
Yeah, blog and website, and all my books can be found at harmonykent.co.uk. I'm on Twitter, quite active on Twitter. I'm on Amazon, BookBub on there. I can't do a lot living in the UK. They limit me, but my books are on there and people can leave reviews for me and find my books there too. I think that's pretty much, Twitter, my website, and BookBub and Amazon.
Wow. Harmony Kent. Everybody get out there and discover books by Harmony Kent. Everything from journals and planners to poetry to novels to erotica,
short stories
to advice and help for indie writers on how to be better writers.
All
and be
sorts
more successful.
Of genres.
I mean, you name it, Harmony Kent has written it. Harmony, we really appreciate you being on the show. This was, after knowing you for so many years, my first chance to actually talk to you. So it's been a treat. It really is.
It's been lovely to be here and chat with you both. It's really been fantastic.
Great. And then next week, we're going back live again. We have somebody who's in Story Empire. Jan Sykes is going to be joining us.
Yeah. And then after that, we've got a return visit, Marcia Fox. And this time, she's bringing her co-writer, Pete Rising's son. They write some incredible Native American-based novels. So tune in for that. And after that...
And then after that, we have Avanti Centre, who I'm still needing to learn a little bit more about. And after that, we've got Stacy Troilo. So another Story Empire author. We got a little bit of a Story Empire theme this month.
And after Stacy Troilo, we've got Linda Mims.
Ooh, that's right.
So we're booked through November. So we got a lot of interesting guests coming up.
I've known Linda for many years, too, and have never talked to her. I'm looking forward to that one as well. So, again, this is Harmony Kent. Everybody get out there, find her books, and find ways to support Harmony and other indie authors as well. Thanks for being on the show, Harmony.
Thank you.
All right, see everybody next week.
Next week, everybody.
Live every Wednesday, your Voice of Indie hosts Beam Weeks and Stephen Gies welcome authors, musicians, publishing industry pros, artists, and assorted creative guests for an exciting interactive hour. Call in during the show or post questions and comments on Twitter for responses in real time. Meet your favorite indie creators, learn inside tips, network, and promote your work. At Voice of Indie, you can spend time with guests such as Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon, sci-fi master Robert G. Wilscroft, med expert Dr. Helen Burrell, the Tippins of Rocker's Wide Track, sports writer and photographer Stephen Hargis, broadcaster and author David Carroll, and international author Sally Cronin. The link for each week's show is pinned on Twitter atop at Voice of Indie, and you can receive the link every Wednesday morning in your inbox by subscribing to our newsletter at freshinkgroup.com. Check out Voice of Indie every Wednesday on Blog Talk Radio and catch hundreds of episodes archived everywhere from our websites to our YouTube channel and Spotify.
You've been a part of Voice of Indie, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.